My scripture reading is in Leviticus 23, and starting with the first verse. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which ye shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them." If you would, bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this service. We thank you for the ones that's here. We ask your blessings on them. Heavenly Father, bless the loved ones of the people here. Let your Holy Spirit work within their lives to tug at their hearts and draw them into your family also. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on the thoughts and the verses that we will read. And we ask you to help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, we ask these things. And amen. My text to you today is in Leviticus 20. It's in Exodus 20, and starting with the 8th verse, Exodus 20, verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made heavens, the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." My message to you today is entitled Sabbath Days. The Lord's appointed times. And notice that when we read the text and read my scriptures, holy convocations was mentioned. This is what sets these days special, appointed days of the Lord apart, because these holy convocations are holy assemblies, Sabbaths of the Lord's. The word "remember," I like to express as being defined as "don't forget." The Lord God is saying, "Remember the Sabbath day. Don't forget." Because you know what? He knew that was going to happen. And it's happening very prevalently all over the world today, especially in the United States of America, in our Christian churches. Don't forget, God has special days, days of assembly. And you know, it's also used in my scripture reading to you, that these days are the Lord's appointed times. We can say that another way. The Lord made appointment days for you and I. We have appointments with the Lord on His special days that He appointed throughout the entire year. Not just the weekly Sabbath, but you know the weekly Sabbath has to be at the top of the list of His appointed time. And you know what lets me know that His weekly Sabbath day is that important to Him? Because it's weekly. Because there's 52 of them in every year. 52 appointment days with God. And then, of course, He has other Sabbaths, appointment days besides that, that He expects us to show up. He expects us to honor the days that He has made appointments with us ahead of time, each and every year. How important are Sabbath commands of God? They are commands. The fourth commandment in the royal law of God says for us to remember the Sabbath. Don't forget the Sabbath day. How important are these? Of the Sabbath day of atonement, which is one of the festival Sabbaths of the year, festival days, Day of Atonement, of that day, let's see what God says in Leviticus 23, starting at verse 28. How important are these Sabbaths to the Lord? You shall not do any work on this same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is any person who will not humble himself on this day, he shall be cut off from his people. As for any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you. And you shall humble your souls on the ninth of the month at evening. From evening until evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. I'd say from the description there, God places much importance on His Sabbath and being obedient to His commands concerning His Sabbath. Let's go to another one, which is the implication is that it probably pertains to the weekly Sabbath. Let's go to Numbers 15 and verse 32. Numbers 15, how important are the Sabbaths to God? Very important. Now, while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him in custody because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man shall surely be put to death." Notice the Lord said this. "The congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Trying to emphasize to you, the Lord made commands concerning His appointment times with us And some of those, the appointed times, holy convocations, were Sabbaths. Days of rest, just exactly like the weekly Sabbath. What are the Lord's Sabbath days? We know the weekly Sabbath. Most everybody has heard of that, even ones that don't believe it and don't keep it. They know of the weekly Sabbath. When someone says Sabbath days, they know all about it. But not so many, it seems, knows that there are more Sabbath days. So what are these days of appointed times, holy convocations, the Lord's Sabbath days? What else? Let's go to Exodus 20 and verse 8, and I want to emphasize the weekly Sabbath, Exodus 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. We know that very well. Let's go to Leviticus 23 and 3. Leviticus 23 and 3. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. The weekly Sabbath. 52 of them, approximately. Every year. I'd say weekly Sabbath is very important to God. And I'd also say that it's implied there. Why does God make so many Sabbaths? It's because He wants His people to be in touch with Him often. He has made these appointed times to stress the importance of a personal, continuing, often, relation to Him. Focusing your heart and your mind and your service to Him. He wants communication with you. And He wants it on a regular basis. This is what month in God's calendar year? But the first one, isn't it? It's the first month of God's calendar year. And so I think it's important that we review these things that God has for us to remember and to do throughout the entire year. This being the first month which has the first festival day to God in it. Tomorrow night, we are in the first month of God's calendar year. In fact, this is about the 12th day or so. Tomorrow night we'll be having our Passover. And it's very much emphasized that it's the 14th day of the first month at evening, meaning the beginning of the day. Let's go to Leviticus 23 and 7. Passover time has two Sabbaths within it. And it's the first day and the seventh day, or last day, of unleavened bread. So our Sabbath service is tomorrow night. Monday is officially the Sabbath day. Tuesday would be the first day of unleavened bread. And so we get together in a holy convocation on Monday night at 7 to have our assembly to God on that first day of unleavened bread. But in Leviticus 23, it says, on the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. That's the appointed day. That's a Sabbath. The first of the festival days of the year. Okay? Let's go to then to Leviticus 23 and 8. But for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. Okay, that's the second day, second Sabbath of the festival Sabbath of the year at Passover time, but within the days of unleavened bread, in which we are to constantly and consistently throughout that seventh day period, each day, be focused on the fact that sin is prevalently in this world. And sin dominates people's lives that don't know God. And so each day of unleavened bread, we are to focus on putting out, getting rid of sin or leaven in our lives. Putting sin out of our lives. And thereby growing closer to God. Being more like God and less like ourselves. So each day of unleavened bread, God wants us to think of the sin in our life. And it's expressed by leavening, being in food. And so to help us remember that process, we put leavened foods out of our house. Set them aside. And know at the time that we do it, this is the process that God has for us to remember getting sin out of our life. Now let's go to the third Sabbath of the festival days. Leviticus 23, verse 15. You shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. 15, 16, and let's go to 21. On this same day, you shall make a proclamation as well. You are to have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It is to be a perpetual statute in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. Perpetual, never ending, forever. You are required and commanded of the Lord to do this. That is the third Sabbath. Okay, the next one we skip. That is Pentecost. Pentecost is that 50th day. And what it amounts to is the Sabbath after the days of unleavened bread becomes number one. And then you count 7 Sabbaths from that Sabbath after the days of unleavened bread. And then the very next day, which of course would be the next day after the seventh Sabbath, would be every year a Sunday. And on that 50th day, a Sunday, then that would be the day of Pentecost. Let's go next. We skip from Pentecost, which is usually around May of each year. Let's go to the fall festival days. And the first one is trumpets. Let's go to Leviticus 23 and verse 24. Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest. A reminder by blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work, but you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. 24 and 25. So trumpets, the first day of the seventh month. Okay? I think that was 5. Then we go to the Day of Atonement, which is 6. I've got that wrong. That would be 4, and then Atonement would be 5. Okay, let's go to Leviticus 23 and verse 27. On exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. So that is the 5th Sabbath festival day, Atonement. Now, the final 2, 6, and 7 are within the days that we refer to as the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. So let's go to Leviticus 23 and verse 34. Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the 7th month is the Feast of Booths for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day is a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work of any kind. And that's the 6th of the 7 festival Sabbaths of the Lord. And then in verse 36, we have that 7th Sabbath. And we read, for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day, you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do no laborious work. And there you have the 7 Sabbaths, festival Sabbaths of the Lord. So, we lead to the question, why is the weekly Sabbath day and the yearly appointed days or festival days, why are they still important and binding on all Christians? And I'm well aware that some believe that they are not binding. In fact, one predominant denomination in California within the last 10 years or so have made up that their doctrine is going to be that the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, is not even binding on Christians today. Cannot believe that, nor do I know where they get it anywhere in God's Word, but that's their belief. Why is the weekly Sabbath and the yearly appointed days still important and binding on all Christians? Number one is that they are commanded by God. They are commanded to be kept perpetually, never ending, all your generations, from the first to the very last. Are you, this is a good question, are you a child of God? Are you one of the people in God's family? Are you one of God's? That's an important question. Are you in the family of God, and are you one of God's people just like the patriarchs of old? Just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Are you just as important to God as them and just as much included in His family, subject to His commands and His blessings and His curses, just as they? Absolutely, you are. Let's see what Galatians 3 and 29 says in the New Testament. Galatians 3:29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Can anything be more clearer than that? If you want to call me a Jew, great. I'm a Jew. I'll claim it. I may or may not be a blood Jew. But whether I am or not, I am one of God's children. I am in His family. And you are too if you belong to Christ and you claim Christ. You are as if you were a literal son of Abraham. And to be heirs, just as God's promises to Abraham, just as God's promises to any of His children, any of the family of God, you have just as much right as anyone else to any of those. Did you know that Jesus and Paul and all of the first original Christian church that you read about in your Bible, did you know that all of those, Jesus, Paul, the early church, all first Christians, all of them kept the Sabbath? And they kept the holy days of God, the festival days of God. It's very clear if you know your what we call New Testament. It's all in there. Let's go to Luke 4 and 16. A lot of people don't know Jesus and Paul. Routinely and consistently went to the temple, went to church on the Sabbath, read the scriptures that they had at that time on the Sabbath day and worshiped God on the Sabbath day. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom or habit, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Was this an occasional, rare event? No. It says, as was his custom. Let's go to Acts 17:2. Acts 17:2. And we read about Paul. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them. And for 3 Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the scriptures. Why would Paul do that? If suddenly the 7th day became the 1st. If suddenly there was a switch from the Sabbath being the day of worship of the Lord God. If there was a switch to Sunday or the 1st day. Why would Jesus do what he did? Why would you not read somewhere in the Word of God? Why would you not read that Jesus said, this is to be it, the way it is from now on? Or Paul in all of his writing of the books of the New Testament. Why would you not read somewhere where Paul clearly stated, you're now not to go to church on the Sabbath, or place the importance that God placed on His Sabbath on the 7th day. It's been changed to the 1st. Why would we not read that in our Bibles? I guarantee you, we would. God does not work haphazardly. Everything He does is in perfection. Beautiful perfection. Jesus declared, this is the third of why it's still relevant and important to keep God's Sabbath. Jesus declared Himself Lord of the Sabbath. What does that imply to you? It implies to me that He has the same approval of it that His Father did. Jesus said, I do nothing, I say nothing, but what I hear of my Father. And they are in total and complete agreement on everything. Jesus said, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Well, what about the question? What is the Lord's day? What do you hear many, many times throughout the year? Oh, we go to church on the Lord's day. The Sunday, the first day of the week, is now the Lord's day. Now, how does that come together to you? With Jesus saying he's Lord of the Sabbath, and someone else saying another day is the Lord's day. It doesn't come together. So I'm saying to you, logically, when someone says, which day is the Lord's day? Logically, I would say, the day that the Lord said that he is Lord of. The day that Jesus said, I am Lord of that day. Let's go to God's Word. Matthew 12 and 8. Matthew 12 and 8. And this is Jesus' words himself. For the Son of Man, being himself, being Jesus, is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus stated that himself. Let's go to Mark 2:28. Mark 2:28. Jesus said to them, Mark 2:28. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus again in Mark 2:28. Let's go to Luke 6 and 5. Luke 6 and 5. And he was saying to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, what day is the Lord's day? The day that the Lord said, I am Lord of that day. Didn't you know Jesus said himself in the New Testament? Jesus stated the Sabbath was made for man. And I take that the Sabbath was made, put in place by God himself for mankind. Let's go to Mark 2:27. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. What more proof do we need of the importance of the Sabbath to Jesus than what I'm giving you this morning? Jesus said himself from his own lips, the Sabbath was made for everyone. For God's people. Let's see what Paul states in Hebrews 4, verse 9. Hebrews 4 and verse 9. Or the writer of Hebrews, let me put it that way. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. It's in your Bible. Hebrews 4 and verse 9. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. If you don't do that and rest as he set the example, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Jesus states in Matthew 5:18, and let's use the King James Version there. Jesus states, because so many in the world today, in the primarily the Sunday or first day churches today, wants us to believe that the law is not important, the prophets are not important, the complete Old Testament to some has literally been done away with. So they belittle the Old Testament. But the Old Testament is what the people used in Jesus' time. And when Jesus went to the temple and read from the Word, he certainly wasn't reading from the Bibles that we have today. He was reading from the Scriptures, the existing Scriptures at that time, which would be what many would call today the Old Testament. And Jesus states in Matthew 5:18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass," and I'm telling you, they haven't passed yet, and we're 6,000 years into this thing, "heaven and earth, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law." If you want to interpret that, the Torah, the Old Testament, to me, it's saying that. Not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all the prophecies, all that has been said in God's Word, until it is fulfilled. And all has not been fulfilled. It wasn't that way in Jesus' time. It's not that way now. Jesus helped to fulfill the laws and the prophets concerning him, but all is not completed. Let's see what Paul says in Romans 7:12. Many people belittle the Old Testament, belittle the history of God's nation and the prophecies that have some not even come to pass in our day yet. But modern day Christians want to belittle, for whatever purposes, the Old Testament. Paul states in Romans 7:12, "So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good." You know, out of all of the writers of the Bible, out of all the people of the Bible, Paul and his writings are the most misinterpreted, misapplied, not understood writings of all of God's Word. And you wonder, you know, curiosity, why is that? Well, I know one possibility, and that is because Paul was so educated, and his understanding was evidently on a higher level than most of the other people around him, and even ours today, that when you read his writings, you can easily misapply or misinterpret those writings. And that's what is happening today. That's why many people believe that the weekly Sabbath is not relevant. It's not binding. The other Sabbaths of God are the same way. I'm saying to you, that's not right. It's not God's Word. Let's go in closing to 2 Peter 3:14. 2 Peter 3:14. "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. I hope from that you realize that the Sabbath days of the Lord, weekly and annual, are still as important as they ever would. They should be important to us as they were to those long ago, and they are certainly important to God. At this time, I'd like for us to all go to God's blessing to us and stand to our feet, and let's recite these to each other. Numbers 6 and verse 24. Let's repeat this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face on you and give you peace. I don't know if it's the way with you, but when I come in and Vi says shalom to me, you know, it makes me feel good. And when I read this, that some would call the Aaronic blessing, it makes me feel good. And you know, from the very beginning of each and every Sabbath to the end of it, we should just feel God's presence in our heart and life and feel His love and His blessings on us. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this blessed Sabbath.